Hello and welcome to Job Law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor from Dallas, Texas, from the law firm of McGregor and Oblad. And today we are going to talk about lease renewals. When we talk about lease renewals, the people that we're talking to today are mostly those who already have a lease. And these are going to be things that you're going to utilize to help you understand that portion of your lease. But for sure, the most immediate audience are those who already have a lease, and maybe more specifically, those who are approaching renewal. We want to arm you with the best information possible so that you can achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve with your renewal. And I guess part of this is just to help you understand that there actually are things that you can achieve during a renewal. All right, so to get started, let's establish a little framework here. It happens to be the case that the industry standard for most leases is that they are 10 years long in their primary term. Renewal terms are almost always 5 years. So most people who are going to be hearing this and who have a lease, they're going to be at the conclusion of one of those two terms. A certain subset of people who are listening, they are going to be people who didn't enter into a lease at the like as a de novo. They bought a practice and they took a lease assignment. So a lease that's already been going on. For instance, you may have purchased a practice from somebody in year 7 of their lease, so you still have 3 years left to go. Most of these leases out there will say, before the end of the lease, if you want to stay here, you will have to give us, the landlord, you have to give us notice that you're going to stick around. Most of the times, you're going to renew in 5-year increments, although we do see other denominations. If it's not 5, it's usually 3. Sometimes it's 2, sometimes it's 1, but year to year isn't very common. And if you're on a month-to-month lease, then this podcast doesn't really apply to you. The strategy on how long to renew is probably outside the scope of this episode. Maybe it's something we'll tackle later, but that's really something that has its own knowledge base and can better be communicated either in a different episode and or with the help of a real estate broker. Just suffice it to say, there is some strategy there. One reason we're doing this episode is because we do lease renewals all the time. And for the uninitiated, it would be fair to ask, why is a lawyer helping with a lease renewal? By the end of this episode, I hope that becomes clear. But for now, just know that it's usually because when someone does renew, there's often an additional document that the landlord produces that they want you to sign. It's conveniently usually called a lease renewal. And because it's a document that the landlord will have you sign, and usually it has a lot of verbiage, clients will forward that over and they'll say, hey, Joe, can you just take a look at this before I sign? Hopefully the client, and that's kind of the idea in this podcast, is hopefully the client has reached out way before that. But at the very least, a lot of clients at the end of the lease renewal process, they get a little surprised, they get this document and they ask us, Joe, will you review this before I sign it? My goal is to have you employ or utilize people, not saying it has to be us, but someone to help you way in advance of that last minute effort to get someone to review it. And I say this because I think that if there is one regret that most of those clients experience, is they regret that they didn't start the process sooner, because they're locked into some provisions or some economics that they don't like, and they could have possibly been avoided. Not saying they absolutely would have been, but they could have possibly been avoided had they started sooner. So here we are. Before we start talking about those items, though, we need to start by thinking about this from the landlord's perspective. So we're going to put ourselves in the landlord's shoes, because it's going to help us understand what we can get out of the landlord and how they're going to process the request that we make. Of course, anytime you are painting with a broad brush, you have to throw out that caveat. All landlords are different. They're not going to all process the same. Some landlords have different professional experience. Some have different amounts of cash on hand. Some of them have different investing objectives. Honestly, some are just nicer than others. It's hard to create the standard landlord. But what I'm about to explain is something that virtually all landlords will employ to think about the lease renewal. So with that in mind, generally speaking, most landlords want two things. They want you to stay as long as possible and pay as much as possible. These sound like two separate objectives, but they are one and the same. I would classify them as dependent objectives. And I mean that by, you know, the more they're going to charge you, the less interested you're going to be in staying. And if you're excited about staying, if you're too excited about staying, then that's going to tell the landlord maybe they're not charging enough. They want to get as much out of you, but they need you to stay, or else some bad things happen to the landlord if you don't renew. Now again, they may have other objectives. I'm just generally speaking, the landlords, they find you leaving as pretty onerous. Most of them find it pretty onerous because if you leave, they've got to do a couple of things. Number one, they have to go out and find a new tenant. Probably they've got to get a broker involved, or at least most landlords go get a broker involved. And that broker is going to charge quite a bit of money in order to secure a new tenant. So it's not just that somebody's going to come in and pay the rate that you won't pay. They've got to pay a broker quite a lot of money to just get that tenant to come in and pay what you won't pay. Then that new tenant is going to want a couple of things. And you'll know this. They're going to want abated rent. They're going to want a tenant improvement allowance. These are things that are going to cost the landlord additional rent. If you think about abated rent, that is money where no rent is being paid during a month that had you renewed, you would have paid that money to the landlord. So that double hurts the landlord. To put it simply, if you don't renew, it's going to cause a lot of pain on the landlord. You need to remember that you staying is kind of doing them a favor. But don't think that just because this is, in a way, a favor to the landlord, don't think that they're just going to turn around and do you a favor. You know, they're not going to just say, hey, here's a huge discount on rent. Because remember, that goes against the other objective. They want you to pay as much as possible. And there are more reasons than simply they get more money out of it. There are other reasons. As an example, the more they charge you, the better argument they have to charge the other people in the center that you're at. So there are other business reasons, economic reasons to charge more from you, possibly better valuation. Anyway, that's not what this episode is about. Just remember that it's not just about the money in their pocket. There are other collateral reasons. For additional context, like I said earlier, most leases are for 10 years. Most renewals are for 5. And most renewals are what we call market-based renewal or market rate renewal. That just means that when you get to the time of the renewal, the landlords, they're going to look out in the market and say, all right, what's the going rate in the marketplace right now? Market rates are really hard to predict even into the next year, much less 5 years later or 10 years later. You're not going to see very many renewals after a 10-year primary term. You're not going to see very many that anticipate the rent. You do see it from time to time. It's just not very common. And lest anyone thinks it's a good idea, like a safety net for them, trust me, it can just as easily work against you. But again, that's a different topic for a different day. The real topic here is market rate. And I air quote that market rate, because market rate is sometimes, depending on the community, sometimes more of an art than a science. Let's just say that a landlord comes back and says, well, the market rate is $24 per square foot. That may actually cover a pretty wide range. So for instance, similar properties might have been going for $18 or $19 per square foot. Maybe you could even find one for $26 per square foot. There's not like a formula. There are formulas, I guess I should say, but again, more art than science. They are going to reach towards the top end of what they think is fair. There's a range of fairness. There's a low end where you're going to think it's fair, higher end where they think it's fair, and obviously they're going to go with the higher end. But I will tell you, you can ask five different brokers, active brokers in the same community, what's the market rate? You will get five different answers. Now, one thing I want to say is that most tenants are rightly afraid that when they have a market rate renewal, that they go to the landlord and the landlord's going to, you know, you're thinking $24 a square foot is high, but reasonable. And you're afraid that they're going to come back to you and actually say, you know what, it's 36. And you're afraid that you're going to be cornered into signing. Well, to that I say, yeah, of course. That's what this whole episode is about. We want to be prepared for that so that they can't charge you or quote you that 36, or at least they would be disinclined to offer that 36. Because remember, they want you to stay, or at least most landlords probably want you to stay. So they're going to come in high, but they're probably not going to be ridiculous. Does it happen? Absolutely. But if you listen to this episode, hopefully that's going to be less likely for you. And just on the side, it's less common than you would think. Most of the times, the rates that our clients are getting, they're high, but they're not ridiculous. Of course, they are going to squeeze as much as they can because they know that it is going to be expensive for you to move. So yes, they do think they've got you. So how do we combat this this anticipated move of the landlords? The first and probably best advice that I could offer is to simply start early. It's literally that simple. Above all other things that we're going to say today, start early. When you start early, you communicate a few things to the landlord. Number one, you communicate, hey, I know what's up. I know there's a dance to this thing, and I know how to dance. I took dance lessons on the Jaw Law podcast. You also communicate to the landlord that if they don't give you a good quote, you have ample time to respond, meaning you could find a new place. You have time to build out, go build a building, whatever. You have time to do something if they don't give you a good quote. Most commonly, these leases and the renewals, they're going to have a time frame. They're going to say, 6 months before the end of your lease, you need to let us know that you're going to renew. The first thing you need to do is right now, go check when that time frame is. There would be nothing worse than if it said you have to give us a minimum of 270 days notice, and then you show up 180 days from the end and say, I want to renew. And they say, well, that's too bad. We didn't think you did because there was a 270 day requirement, and now we're going to put a Starbucks in your place. You don't want to lose the option. They don't have to let you there. You have an option, which they have to acknowledge. They have to play by the rules. And the options typically say that if you give us enough notice in that option period, then yes, you have the option to stay. But if you do not give notice in time, no, they don't have to do anything for you. It may be in their interest, but they do not have to. What I want to add to this time period calculation is that whatever your lease says, add a minimum of 6 months. So if it says 180 days, you better start 1 year in advance. And what do we do with all this time? Well, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to talk to someone. Your lawyers are going to say that they're the ones you need to talk to. And I agree, but they're not the only ones that either you can or should talk to. We also recognize that real estate brokers are also pretty helpful in the lease renewal process. Usually in this process, you either can or should use both. The brokers, they're going to help with the economics of the deal, and your lawyers are going to help with the legal terms. For instance, your real estate broker is going to help you ascertain whether or not that quoted rate is genuinely within market standard. They're going to maybe ask for some additional business terms like abated rent, tenant improvement allowance, better signage, whatever the case may be. I guess I should add that it is sometimes uncommon for a real estate broker to help out with something like this, mostly because it can be difficult to get a broker paid. When it's a brand new lease, it's pretty easy to get a broker paid because what happens is the landlord will hire a broker to go fill those spots. That broker is going to go out to the marketplace and say, all right, let me see if I can find anyone looking for a space. Then there's this other broker who shows up to the marketplace and says, hey, I know someone who is looking for a place. I can make your search super easy, and I will help them get into your space if we split the fee. The problem in a lease renewal is that the landlord already has a captive client. You're there. They don't need a broker to find you. And even if they do have a broker, their broker doesn't need your broker in order to find you. A lot of landlords already have it built into their arrangements that when you renew, their broker might also get paid then as well. Not all the time, but it's a common enough thing. And furthermore, sometimes real estate brokers can find a way to still get paid by the landlord. And that's because you started early and the landlord, their broker is worried that you're not going to renew. Remember, the landlord's broker may have a financial interest in you renewing. And then finally, sometimes our clients will retain real estate brokers and pay them by a flat fee or an hourly fee to help with this process. I'm gonna pause just for a minute and state the obvious that not all real estate brokers are created equal. I'm not gonna name names or companies. I would just say that it is not enough to get someone who can help you with your renewal. Arguably, renewals take, I know this sounds crazy, but arguably they take even more skill than the original lease. You need to make sure you're getting someone who has experience with renewals and has a track record of positively impacting those renewals, not just getting them done, but to actually help the process and help the client. I've seen clients spend a ton of money. Sometimes I have questions about what that broker or consultant, what did they actually bring to the table? Did they just pay a ton of money for things the landlord was already going to say yes to? And I'm not saying these people are like bad people or anything. I'm just saying, do your homework, ask around, make sure your money is really working for you. What's going to happen is if you get a broker, even if you don't have a broker, you should have someone like your lawyer, and you're going to strategize about how to attack this renewal. And you're probably, as part of the plan, you're going to think, well, what if the landlord doesn't play ball? What are my options? And that doesn't mean you want to move somewhere else. It just means that you need to have a backup plan, or you need to come up with a backup plan in case the landlord doesn't come back and play ball. But importantly, the real value is that when you go to the landlord with a backup plan, the landlord knows that you renewing is not a foregone conclusion. And that's going to inspire the landlord, hopefully anyway, to be more careful in what they propose. So what you're effectively doing is you're going to the landlord and you're saying, landlord, what can you do to keep me here? Now you're in a much better position to actually ask for things on the lease renewal. Obviously, the most important thing, can you get a good market rate? The next place we want to go is to find those things that we wish we would have gotten when we first signed the lease, or in the case of buying a practice, sometimes you don't have very much leverage to change the original lease when you're just asking the landlord to approve an assignment. And so in that case, we are looking for those things that we wish we could have changed in either circumstance. Now we might have the opportunity to ask for those things. When we originally did the lease, we had no track record with the landlord. We would ask for things to be changed and they'd be like, I don't even know you, and probably you're going to fail in the first 2 years. Well, now you can say, hey, I've been here for the last 9 years. I've always made my payments. I've never been late. How about you give me X or Y? How about you change the assignment language in my lease? How about you remove me as the guarantor? And then you can ask for the other business terms. How about you give me some abated rent? Maybe give me some TI allowance to freshen this place up. Now, it's important to remember that these things cost money, right? So the landlord wants you to pay for it, even though we think of it as them giving us. So like if they give us $10,000 in tenant improvement allowance, they're not actually giving it to us. They're fronting us $10,000, but we're paying it back over the next 5 years or however long this renewal lasts. But that's an important thing to remember, because if the in the primary term, if you add a pretty hefty tenant improvement allowance, that means that's extra bandwidth for the landlord because they finish costing this in the primary term. So you're hoping you have a little bit more room to play with. And that's one of the reasons having professionals can help assess these factors. Hey, do we think that the landlord has room to give us TI because this is how the rate looks, the rate is constructed? Whatever it is that you think you want, it is best achieved by starting way in advance. Just to reiterate, we recommend that you identify when your lease trigger, your option trigger is, find that date well in advance, at least 6 months, but honestly, it may be even longer. Find some people to help you with the renewal. In a dream world, you have an attorney and you would have a real estate broker. You would formulate a plan. Then you would approach the landlord and you would stay on the landlord, make sure they're diligent, make sure they're getting you rate proposals back promptly. You would ensure that their proposal to you was consistent with market rates. If it is and you want to stay there, then this is your opportunity in advance to ask for the things that you would want as a condition of renewing. And if it turns out that your landlord is going to be difficult, then you will have already started to formulate a plan B in case you need to relocate. But again, it becomes circular. If you have a plan B, it's more likely that your plan A will work out. And that is all we have for you this week. Again, if you like what you're hearing on this podcast, certainly helps us when you share this with your friends and when you rate us on whatever podcatcher you listen to us on. Thank you so much, and we will see you next time.